amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. This is Thanksgiving week, and I'm wishing you guys all a great holiday with your friends and family. We are going to play football in the morning at a park with friends and then come back for a Thanksgiving lunch. Now, unbeknownst to my husband, I've invited an extra guest this year, and that makes two people at lunch this year, Thanksgiving lunch, who are psychics. I believe that there are ghosts in my house, and I would like for them to channel them and see if they can, I don't know, even see them or hear them. And then maybe we can discuss after some pumpkin pie. These conversations will go on undoubtedly at the table, and my husband will still not pick up on it. So yes, that's my Thanksgiving. We are going to play football, and then I'm going to have a psychic intervention. I personally hate Thanksgiving food. Nothing creeps me out more than creamy things and the idea of a sweet potato casserole covered in marshmallows. It's disgusting. It actually makes me think of when I was a kid and my stepfather insisted on making coleslaw at all family holidays. Coleslaw is vile. It is disgusting, and I don't know why anybody would eat it. In fact, he was the only person that ate it. Our holidays were usually pretty busy as a kid. Even though I had the most dysfunctional family in North America, we somehow would have a collection of relatives that would come over. And included in that bunch was my grandfather, who would only bring 6 shrimp to the festivities. So would call my mom and ask, what can I bring? And she'd say a platter of seafood, and he would bring 6 shrimp. And then my stepfather, as I mentioned, was in a lot of health failure for many, many, many years, to the point where he got his last rites at least 3 times and never kicked the bucket. I should note that he was a horrible person. So he, in the last couple years, he would travel around with an oxygen tank connected to him, his face. And my cousins and I would take turns stepping on the cords with hopes that maybe it would stunt his breathing, but unfortunately it never worked. So I am wishing you guys a great Thanksgiving holiday. And this episode is really special because Jackie Goldschneider is a new cast member on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. She opens up about joining the show, but also about overcoming an eating disorder. Lauren Everts is host of the Skinny Girl Confidential podcast, and she reviews the season finale of Real Housewives of Orange County. IT account manager Cricket Johnston reviews TLC's show Unexpected, which takes a raw look at 3 teenage pregnancies and the effects that it has on their families as everyone prepares for the arrival of the babies. And then my friend, Great Love Debate host Brian Howie. I had him on because he does all of these events across the country and he has reality stars participate. And I wanted to ask him about what it's like to work with reality stars and what it's really like for them once they leave their TV shows. You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose 1 title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. I am so excited because I was able to track down Jackie Goldschneider, the newest member of Real Housewives of New Jersey, in New Jersey. Okay, so tell me a little bit more about you. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Staten Island, New York, hence my rough edge. I was there until high school. Then I moved to New Jersey.
So where did you go to college?
I went to Boston University. And then I came back to New York and I went to Fordham Law School.
And then your husband, he went to Georgetown, correct?
No, he went to Michigan undergrad, and we're all huge Michigan fans. That's why there's so many pictures on my Instagram and everything of Michigan. So he went to Michigan undergrad, And then he worked for a few years, and then he went back for his MBA at Georgetown. He's a smart dude.
So how did you guys meet?
We met at a really dirty beer bar in the city. I've always been like a very not so much of a club kid, more of like a beer and, you know, loud music kind of girl. So we met at a bar that everyone who spent their, you know, early 20s in New York City knows, Brother Jimmy's. So we met at Brother Jimmy's on a random Thursday night.
And then how long were you married until you had your first set of twins?
Not that long. We got married in August of 2006, and we had our babies in April of 2008. So not long at all.
And then how long after that did you have your second set of twins?
Not long, 2.5 years. So I had 4 kids in diapers at the same time. I had 4 kids under the age of 3.
So tell me all the kids' names.
So the first, I'll give you in firstborn to last order. It was Jonas, Aiden, Hudson, and Alexis.
Adorable. And their ages are?
So Jonas and Aiden are 10, and Hudson and Alexis are 8.
I know that you're buddies with Margaret. How did the opportunity to be on the show come about?
Well, you know, Margaret and I had a close mutual friend, and that friend was also friends with Siggy. And so she was really connected to the show. And, when the opportunity presented itself, I've never been the type of person who said no to anything. So I went for it, and, you know, one thing after another just happened, and it was in the cards, I guess.
Well, one thing I do love about you already is that you were willing to admit that you've watched the show before, because nothing drives viewers more crazy than when someone says, yeah, I never watched the show, but I just signed up. So your husband's very private person. So how did you get him on board?
So let me start by saying that I would never do anything. I would never force anyone to do anything that was completely out of their comfort zone. So once I knew that it looked like I was going to go forward with the show, before everything, I actually sat him down and I said, you know, if I go for this, it needs to be with your blessing. And he was like, yeah, go for it. I mean, I don't think he expected it to happen, and neither did I. So he was the one who told me definitely explore it at first. And then when it looked like it was a reality, we really had to have a heart to heart. And I told him, look, it's not a show about you, but it is a show about family. So you will have to be on it. And I can't, every time that cameras come around, I can't feel bad and I can't keep apologizing. So either you're in it or you're not. And he understood that. And he said, I'm in it. I will do. I mean, I think that a large portion of it is him wanting to make me happy. And I would do the same thing for him. So he was fine with it. He was good. And, you know, I didn't impinge on him, his comfort zone too much. But I also think that he opened up to it a lot more than we both expected him to.
So one of the things I'm really looking forward to learning about you is I know that you're going to be open about some body image issues. And I think it's a mm-hmm. really important topic for women, young women, middle-aged women, to be open about, because I don't know any woman who hasn't at some point in their life had some sort of body image issue. So at age 26, you say that you stepped up exercising and eating well. Why do you think that 26 was such an interesting age for that to happen?
I just think that happened to be the age I was when I finally found a diet that worked. All my other diets, I was always a yo-yo dieter. And every time I would lose weight, I'd lose a little, it would come right back. And I finally found something that, a way of restricting my calories that was working. And like, suddenly I was getting thinner. And if you've ever been, I was very heavy at one point. And if you've ever been really heavy, you know that, you know, to be uncomfortable in your own body, you know, and to always want to lose weight is, you know, once you find a diet that works, you really like want to stick to it. It feels good. And so I think I just got carried away with it. Once I started losing weight and it really started coming off, I just was scared to put it back on. I was scared.
One of the things that was your issue was exercise bulimia. And I feel like very few people talk about that. Can you explain how that kind of spiraled?
Yeah. So What I would do was I didn't necessarily follow a diet. I was just very old school, calories in, calories out. So I gave myself a baseline number of calories that I could eat every day just based on my body not moving at all, just my heart beating and my organs functioning. And then any amount of exercise I did on top of that was the more food that I was allowed to eat. So it was basically, I would just work out so much so that I could eat more. And when I say more, like I wasn't going and getting a burger. I was like just surviving. The amount I would allow myself to eat on no exercise was really, really low. So not exercising was almost not an option. So I would go to the gym. I mean, there was never, ever a day off, you know, come hell or high water. I could be, you know, sick, terribly sick, and I was still working out. And I would really, mostly what I did was run. I would run at a really high speed for like an hour and just until my legs wanted to fall off. I mean, I would just be thinking to myself during it that like, it was just torture. It was awful. And I couldn't stop because if I didn't do it, I couldn't eat.
Then I was really surprised to hear that when you met your husband on your first date, you passed out.
It wasn't our first date. It was one of our early dates. It was one of our really early dates. And I remember we were just talking in a bar and next thing I know, I woke up on the floor. That happened to me 3 times in my life, all during that period from just not eating. And I think he knew why. I mean, he was a smart guy, but food was so touchy. I mean, I used to like shut him down so quickly if he ever brought it up. So I don't blame him for not, you know, being like my savior. I mean, that's not a position I wanted to put my boyfriend in.
So this is a question I have, and I hope this isn't touchy, but did the eating disorder affect your fertility at all?
Absolutely. I mean, my doctors never told me that, but I fully believe during that time, I just didn't have my period. I didn't ovulate. I didn't do anything. And I really think it was caused by just having no body fat. And I mean, when I say no, I mean like I had like 9%. I had hardly any body fat. I wasn't ovulating. I wasn't menstruating. I wasn't doing anything. So, I mean, common sense tells me that it had to be part of it.
So when your kids became toddlers, you'd mentioned that you started to weigh your children's food.
Right. I was so nervous that, first of all, I was so used to weighing everything, but I was so nervous that all I thought about was food. So I was nervous that my children were not going to eat enough. I was scared for them to have what I had. So I always wanted to make sure that they were eating enough. So if they were going to eat chicken, I was weighing their chicken to make sure they were getting more like the amount that they needed. And it was so unnecessary. And my children would see me do it all the time. They thought weighing your food was just a normal part of eating. And when I told that to the nutritionist, she was just, you know, she was a lot more gentle with me with the baby steps. But when she heard that I was doing that with the kids' food, she was like, you're never doing that again, ever. And it just terrified me. I didn't want to pass on any habits to my sons or like, especially to my daughter, but like to any of my children. I don't want them to think that weighing your food is a normal way to eat. People don't do that before they eat.
Yeah. The one moment where it just clicked in your brain that you needed to get help.
I mean, I had a lot of moments, but I didn't get help after all the moments. So like I had the moment where I came home, I went with my husband to Mexico in, 2007. And I just was so scared of an all-inclusive. The whole idea of a restaurant not changing my meal for me was horrifying because I would change every meal to like steamed fish and steamed vegetables everywhere I went. So I brought like 30, you know, bags of chips and like low fat, like single serve chips and like 30 cans of tuna. And I just brought cans of tuna with me everywhere I went and just ate them. I would order a salad and just dump a can of tuna on top of it when no one was looking. And I came home from that trip and I was my thinnest ever. I stepped on the scale and I said to myself, this is it. Like, I'm going to die. I have to stop. And it also, like, everything was unenjoyable to me. I mean, we went to Israel and all I ate was hummus because I knew how many calories were in a tablespoon of hummus. It was just, everything was getting so ridiculous and out of hand. I couldn't control myself. So I think I stood on the scale and I said, this has to stop. But that's not even when it stopped. But that was probably the first time that I admitted to myself that it was so out of hand and I was going to die if it didn't stop. I went one time to a therapist to work through some issues I was having, personally, nothing to do with food. And I just didn't click with this therapist. And at the end of the therapy session, I think she knew that, like, we just didn't click. And she said, can I ask you something off the topic? I said, sure. She said, do you have issues with eating, with food? And I said, no. And I was like, let me get out of here. And she was like, I'm going to give you somebody's number. And if you choose to use it, like, that's great, but I want you to have it. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't need it. I have a nutritionist already. She said, just take it. And she said, it's a nutritionist who specializes in eating disorders. So I took the number, I went home, and I said, let me just call her. I never saw the therapist again, but I called the nutritionist, and that was the beginning of the end for me. This nutritionist helped me. I mean, the way she spoke to me, I knew she could help me. I knew she understood what I was going through. She understood that I didn't want to put on 20 pounds right away. It wasn't worth it to me. That wasn't worth it to me. To come out of it and gain 5 pounds, yeah, I could do that. But I was not convinced until I met her that anyone could help me eat normally without me turning back into the obese person that I used to be until I met her.
Have you had any health issues post
related
nutritionist?
To,
yes.
Related to nutrition? No. They said some women just stop shedding the lining. I don't know, but I am done having children. My estrogen is healthy. I eat a lot of calcium. So I take care of myself now and I'm strong. I make sure that I don't let old habits creep in. I mean, everybody has, you know, there are some moments where I'm like, you know, maybe I'll just, you know, skip this meal. But I don't let myself do that. I do have issues with exercise though, still. I mean, I don't exercise nearly the way that I used to, but I do have problems taking a day off from the gym.
Do you worry that being on TV might trigger anything? Because I know that to be on TV when you don't start off as an actress or something, it's a lot of pressure. So is there a concern at all that it might somehow rear its ugly head?
I'm not concerned at all. I know myself very well. Being on TV so far has made me criticize myself in other ways. My lips are too thin, or, you know, my jawline is too square, things like that. But when it comes to my body, I do not mess around anymore. I never want to go back to that place. And I know I don't look at my body on TV and worry about dieting. I just don't, I don't think I could ever go back to that place.
Do you talk to your daughter about these issues?
No, I don't talk to my daughter specifically about eating disorders, but I did tell my kids, I watched the show with my kids and I told them, this week that mommy was going to be talking about an eating disorder, and I explained to them what it was and I explained to them that I used to be very, very skinny. And that I didn't eat enough and that now I'm strong and healthy. So they know nothing about it. With my daughter, I don't discuss eating disorders specifically. And I'm always sure to tell her that she's beautiful. And I never let her, you know, hear people talking bad about their bodies. And I'm also trying to be very, very careful to not talk about my body in front of her. I think that's important for moms to remember that kids are always listening to us and watching us, and just not to say anything negative about yourself in front of your kids.
I agree. And think about how many people are going to watch that episode this week and feel so emboldened by what you've said and will really help.
I really hope so, because, you know, if it could help anyone, I would do it a million times over. I really didn't think that I'd ever talk about this on the show because there was no reason for it. But it came up so naturally. I mean, you'll see the moment it came up and it's just like the words just flew out of my mouth. And like, I'm so glad it did.
So as we close, tell me the word that pops in your head when I mention all your cast members. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Teresa.
Strong.
Melissa.
Best. I mean, fun. Say fun.
Fun. Dolores.
Honest.
Margaret.
Warm.
Jennifer.
Traditional.
Real Housewives of New Jersey just premiered last week. So tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. on Bravo.
And then where can they find you on social media?
Social media, I'm on Instagram at Jackie Goldschneider. I'm on Facebook at Jacqueline Mark Goldschneider and Jackie Goldschneider. And on Twitter at JG Schneid.
Is there seriously anything better than a new, great pair of shoes? I'm finding a ton of new shoes at ShoeDazzle.com, and I've become a VIP member. Listen, Shoe Dazzle is the club for the shoe obsessed, and I know that you're just as obsessed as I am. But it's not about shoes only. Millions of women say Shoe Dazzle is their one-stop shop for all things trendy, including clothing, accessories, and handbags. Whether it's boots, booties, sweaters, jeans, Shoe Dazzle has everything that you're going to need for fall and winter. And you can shop as a guest or become a VIP member. And let me tell you, it's totally worth it. VIPs save 30% off most retail prices all day, every day. Plus, get free shipping and returns. And you're going to have access to tons of other exclusive sales and perks. And when you visit the site for the first time, you're given a style quiz, and it's going to figure out your personality and personalize your shopping experience. So don't forget to select VIP membership at checkout. Shoe Dazzle releases hot new styles every week, so you're never going to wonder, what should I wear again? And you know what? If you go to ShoeDazzle.com/reality now, sign up as a VIP, you're going to get 50% off your first order. That's ShoeDazzle.com/reality to get half off everything on the site. Do it today. The hottest style sell out fast. ShoeDazzle.com/reality. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house, but I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you gotta get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it. Lauren Everts is the host of the Skinny Confidential podcast. She's sort of like a beauty expert, I would say. I'm so happy to tell you that she is a huge reality TV fan. And I discovered a long time ago, specifically, loves Real Housewives of Orange County. So I thought of nobody better to review the finale, which aired this week. Lauren, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. What an intro.
Okay. So one, they had a femme fatale party. They went shopping in Costa Mesa at the Wicked Chamber, which is basically a shop for people who have sex fetishes. When it was posed as an empowerment party to celebrate Mother's Day, and they all showed up with whips and chains, did you support this theme party, or is this someplace that you would never want to be seen?
I support anything that's spicy. I don't like boring. I always say that, like, whoever is around me, you can be anything but boring. So I support it. I think you have to add a little spice into it. So I'm supportive of that. And I think that, you know, do you. If that's what you want to do on Mother's Day, so be it. This season needed a little spice, don't you think?
Yeah, it was weak. It was really, really boring. In fact, when they said next week's season finale, I felt like there had been five episodes, which makes me believe they knew that this was in the shit can, maybe two episodes into filming. Okay, Vicky, who, as I mentioned, is probably 97 years old now, has brought along her boyfriend. Now, people have said this guy is just, you know, really into her, met her, and didn't understand that she was a reality star. I'm calling bullshit on that, especially since I've seen him in just about every single episode this season. When you see him on camera, do you want to kick him through the television, or do you think that this is a lasting love?
First of all, anyone that goes out of their way to say that they haven't seen the reality show has seen the reality show.
Right.
Like, you know, if someone goes out of their way and says, hi, I don't read your blog, it's like, why are you even leading with that? You know what I mean? That's so weird, right?
Right.
I think he for sure knows who Vicki Gunvalson is. Like, who doesn't? Like, she's iconic. And I do think, though, at the end of the day, it's her fault that she's attracting that kind of energy. I think that she needs to do some therapy and hold herself accountable for the energy that she continues to attract. Because there's something happening where she's attracting these men that need her and want something from her and have ulterior motives. Do I want to kick him through the screen? No, because he just doesn't do anything for me. Like, he's boring. He just sits there. So he's like, it's kind of just, he's there. I think she needs to date someone with like a huge personality that has his own thing going on and makes his own money and doesn't need to live off Kodo insurance.
I agree with you. Okay. Emily flew into her depressed mom. She's discussed her in previous episodes, how she struggled with manic depression. And I felt like it was a Hail Mary pass to stay on the show, to fly in her mother. It was clear that they have a really weird relationship and she barely knows the grandchildren. Were you as uncomfortable as I was watching those scenes?
Yes. And I do, that is really interesting that you say that, because it's like she saved her vulnerability card for the end and she, like, to push it to the end and like make sure she squeezed all the toothpaste out of the tube.
Exactly.
I feel like she did do that. And then if you saw, we saw a peek into the reunion. And if you see, she's like going like over the top at the reunion, which tells me that she's really feeling like she doesn't know if she's going to make it to next season, and she's auditioning and she's like going to pull out every card she can possibly pull out, which is why she maybe strategically flew out her mother. Although her husband to me is so quirky and like different that I think that she could have played up that a little bit more.
Kelly brought a date and she kept referring to his pretty huge dick. Do you think that this guy will ever appear in subsequent episodes, or we're going to look forward to another season where she just dates all kinds of guys?
I think Kelly has been really underwhelming this season. I expected more from her. I think that she's been a little boring too. I mean, she wasn't really, what was her storyline that she dated? I need more from Kelly next season. And if this guy is going to come along for the ride, that's fine. But she needs to give me more of her personality.
I would like them to kick off the old cast members and bring in some of Kelly's inner circle. Because I feel like on Instagram, she's living her best life. I want that world on television.
I would like to bring on Kelly's brother.
Oh, yeah.
I watched their Instagram feud. If you guys haven't listened or heard it, you have to Google it. They have this Instagram feud. Like, we need to know more about that. How did we get away with a whole season of OC and not know anything about her fight with her family?
I agree. But I think it's because they filmed over a 6-day process and wedged all these episodes into it.
Yeah, what is happening? I feel like, to be honest, I would call this season one of the laziest seasons I saw ever.
Now, speaking of lazy, Shannon showed up for the Femme Fatale party in a black and white sequin jacket over a matching dress. It basically looked like maybe a job interview at Talbot's.
I think that Shannon's confused with what goes together. Like, you know, her meals, like what does she have? Like salmon and
cream cheese.
Yeah. Like, I think she's confused at things that go together. I would tell Shannon that the way she dresses and she presents herself should be more positive and not so negative, because I think the viewers could see that. And even when she's like getting dressed or putting her outfits on, everything feels like a heavy negativity. And if she could rid that and come back next season, like on fire with so much positivity, I would like that. I would hope that for her. Let this adversity fuel you, not victimize you.
I also thought it was odd that at the end of the party, it seems like she stayed for 20 minutes. And I must also note that the party seems like it was done at 4:00 in the afternoon, totally in bright sunlight, and they're all wearing hooker outfits. And that Shannon all of a sudden did a quick change, she put on like an Axl Rose bandana so she could leave to go to a Poison concert. Why did they let her leave early? Because I feel like in previous seasons, people need to stay until well after midnight.
But they, remember the season where Gretchen, they got Gretchen naked wasted? We need more of that.
Yep.
They need to get them all loose and hanging out. And yeah, why did they let Shannon leave? That's so unfair. She had a concert?
Here's my last question. At the season finale, we saw Tamra's son, Ryan, show up to the party. He has been on the show for so long, he's now pretty much bald. Do you know anyone who is single who could be a potential love match for this man?
I don't know, because Ryan comes with a lot of different dynamics. I mean, he's going to be recognized if you go out to islands, and he has kids. I would say at this point in time, I don't have someone on the tip of my tongue for Ryan, but I'd have to think about that. Why can't we set someone up on the show like Gina with him?
Oh, that's a good call. Okay. So
like, if they could live in the casita.
Perfect. If Gina comes back to the show, she should date Ryan. And
yes, there we go. That's a dynamic. That's a spicy dynamic. That's all we want, is a spicy dynamic. Move Ryan into the casita. Gina's there. Her kids are in the other house. Throw Ryan's kids in there. He's got his lip tattoo, his lingering steroid addiction. Like, what could be better?
So if people want to track you down, where can they find your podcast, and where can they find you on social media?
At The Skinny Confidential on Instagram, and The Skinny Confidential Him and Her podcast on iTunes.
TLC has a television show called Unexpected. It takes a raw look at three teenage pregnancies and the effects it has on their families. Cricket Johnston told me that she is so into the show. And typically I stay away from shows about young people having babies because it's so depressing to me. But in this case, I caught up with the show and watched the tell-all that was hosted by Ricky Lake. So Cricket, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kate. I'm a huge Teen Mom fan. And when I heard about the show, I'm like, oh, it's just going to be some knockoff Teen Mom. And for some reason, I like it so much better than Teen Mom Now. And I think what got me is it's not just about the teenagers having kids. It's every single one of them, their moms were all teen moms as well. And in some cases, the grandmas too. And it's just kind of fascinating to me that, you know, that part of it like really fascinated me. And the thing is most of them, they say, oh, my mom never talked to me about birth control. One of the girls said, no one ever told me, you know, it was this easy to get pregnant. And I'm like, and then one of the guys, Max, Chloe's, I can get into that later, but basically he just said, oh, I mean, yeah, we were just doing it. And I was going, you know, inside every single time, and she never got pregnant. So we just thought it wouldn't happen.
So these are the couples. Laura and Tyler. Tyler is spelled T-Y-L-O-R, which already I'm pissed off about. So Laura also has a younger sister, and I feel badly for the sister because her teen years are being robbed, not just because her sister is stealing all the attention of the parents with this new baby and her gross baby daddy, but they've also allowed television cameras into the house. So she is going to reflect on this time with those memories. And even in the tell-all, she says, I harbor some resentment about all of this. And that makes me angry that the parents didn't talk to the younger sister before they signed the contract to appear on the show. What do you think?
First of all, those parents are interesting to me. I mean, they always looked so perplexed. They always look confused. Like, how did this happen? Like, they're still in shock at the fact that she's having a baby. The mom never speaks.
So then you have Chloe and Max. They seem like a nice couple at first. But then you see that Max is probably high in every scene. His pupils are enormous, and he's also had an arrest record. He has a diabolical father, and you can see where that the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Max is a horrible person. Am I wrong?
No, you are 100% right. First of all, I agree with you about him being high, but I also just think he's probably the stupidest, I feel bad saying that, person I've seen on TV. And I don't know if you heard about, later on, he gets arrested. I read something recently that they weren't even going to, they had to do a psychiatric evaluation to make sure that he was competent enough to stand trial because of his low IQ.
I believe it.
So, you can tell just by the way he talks. I think he's high, and he just has a very, very low IQ. Like, he thinks that they're going to be millionaires just because they're having kids early, because they're going to learn how to be responsible before all their peers and learn how to manage. It makes no sense. He makes no sense. And he's condescending to the parents, and Chloe's parents are a little mean, but it's completely warranted in my opinion. They don't want her to be with this loser.
Emily and Diego. Please explain to me Emily and Diego, because when Diego told her that she was still chubby after having a baby, I wanted to put my hands through the television and then rip his eyeballs out.
Me too. Okay, so Diego is that just typical jock, junior high school, hot guy that just thinks he's the shit. But anyways, they met. She was varsity, head of varsity cheerleading, and he was on the varsity football team. And she had everything going for her at school. And they just decided that they started having sex, absolutely no protection. They said they didn't want to spend money on condoms. But anyways, Diego is a complete asshole, and Emily is an angel from heaven. Her mom was also a teen mom, and her grandmother was a teen mom. And I think she's an amazing mom, and she is just dealing with this guy that's a complete asshole.
I can't watch a show because I do not want to watch people using their parents as a crutch to take care of newborns while suffering from cystic acne. I don't find that to be empowering in the least. So I wish them all well, but I think that this is something I'm going to do a hard pass on from going forward.
Yes, I absolutely will. I love trash TV, and this is the epitome of trash. So I will definitely be on board.
Tell everybody where they can find you.
So you can find me on Instagram at Criqueta, CRIQUETA. Hit me up on Instagram.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. My pal Brian Howie is the host of the Great Love Debate podcast, and he has events all over the country. You need to go to an event. What is the overarching theme for you that, like, their lives post show?
That they thought the show was going to change their lives in a way that it has not. That they thought that the show, because they're, most of them, at least the housewives, they're not in their 20s.
Right.
Okay. So they're sort of, a lot of them have kids, a lot of them have lives. They sort of can't just pack up and go do whatever. So they all get thrown these opportunities by people who are trying to use them to do some brand offshoot or whatever, and it very rarely pans out for for any of them, you know, especially down here.
What about the guys that are contestants on The Bachelorette? They get an insane amount of action the year, maybe 6 months to a year after the show ends. What happens the year after that? Are they dried up?
They get one. I learned this going back from, do you remember that show, Average Joe?
Yes.
Those guys, they were Average Joes, were able to, you know, go get a guest bartending gig in Norfolk, Virginia for a weekend for $1,000 and get laid all weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. It's always been sort of like that. These guys have a year of, I'm going to do a nightclub appearance. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The pool of attractive girls that I have to choose from is far bigger than I ever had on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And then it's like, now what do I do?
Yeah.
Because there's so many of them now kicking around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only so many hosting gigs to go around, and there's only so many of opportunities for them. And then they're like, I mean, for every, you know, even somebody like Jesse Palmer, who turned it into a legitimate
business,
you know,
hosting
commentator, you know, he was just basically a failed football player.
Right.
There's a lot of these guys around who are like, hey, I was on season, because now you're up to what, 24 seasons of The Bachelor and 18 seasons of The Bachelorette, something like that. There's hundreds and hundreds of them. And so you have got to either go into it with, here's what I want to do ahead of time. Because if you think your 5 seconds of fame for the men is going to somehow propel you into some being some captain of industry or whatever, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah. What about the women? Do you find that they're terrified of their fame diminishing?
Some are, and some don't want any part of it, never want to go through it again. You know, it depends. Like somebody, you know, we've dealt with, of the Bachelorettes or the Bachelor winners, I guess we've dealt with Emily Maynard, who still, despite her, you know, quiet Christian married life in Charlotte, she still wants the spotlight.
Yeah.
She still wants to get back there. Ali Fedotowsky has some level of hosting career, and she has it going, and she's got a couple more new shows, and that the show really did do a lot for her. She's fairly talented in that thing. Somebody like, I don't know, Desiree Hartsong, she just wants to have a life with a kid and the husband
right.
in Seattle. She doesn't want to be part of it. Somebody like Caitlin Bristow, she waited for a year to get somebody to say, we'll pay you guys to get married. And they never did.
Yeah.
She was waiting. They waited. They just broke up officially. She basically she's from Canada, right?
Yeah.
She basically treaded water in Nashville with him, waiting for somebody to say, if you guys get married, we will write a check to sponsor and pay for it. And those checks just don't come.
That didn't come. I was always surprised by that.
She was waiting.
Someone would pay for that.
So would I. But what they're offering, they're basically offering you an amount of money to marry somebody you don't love, that it's not much better than marrying somebody for like a green card.
Right.
It's not enough to be like, we're going to do this because, I mean, he's running some like fitness center in Nashville and she's like hanging out.
Right.
And then eventually she's like, I'm just going to go home. And you got to go back to your life.
Well, this is crazy. This is like amazing. Who's the most diabolical person you've dealt with?
Diabolical is probably not the right word.
In the reality
world. Chris Soules.
Chris
Soules had those drinking demons, you know, and you knew them from the first time you talked to him. Nice guy, knows how to play the part or whatever, but there's a dark side of Soules that eventually, you know, sort of manifests itself in a bad way for him.
Who's the most high maintenance person in the reality world that you've had to deal with?
That I've had to deal with, most high maintenance. I can give you a most improved award.
Okay.
Brandi Glanville.
Yeah, you've done a lot of stuff with her.
I've known Brandi now for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Brandi used to be one of the, like, every possible stereotype of diva, Hollywood, pain in the ass, I might not show up, I'll be late, you need to do this for me, to one of the most accommodating generous, professional, mature people.
That's nice.
Really nice. So yeah. That's actually a success story.
I actually really believe that. I do believe that.
Yeah. Like she had a weird situation where the best thing that happened in her life was her husband cheating on her.
Right.
Because she was basically walled off from that part of her who sort of wanted to be famous and sort of, and she gave that up to be, you know, mother and wife and everything. He cheats on her. She's basically let out of the box again.
Yeah.
Goes crazy for 10 years. And now she is pleasant. She's a doll. She's pro. The difference is sort of night and day.
You love Johnny Bananas.
I love Johnny Bananas. I knew of Johnny Bananas, and I underestimated the appeal that people and the interest that people had in Johnny Bananas. So I just did a live show with Johnny Bananas the other day. Could not have been nicer. Could not have been more gracious. Said that the thing that he looks for most in a girl is her relationship with her family and her father.
Wow.
Which is ironically the same thing Ben Higgins said to me. Because I don't care if a girl was raised by wolves. Like, what do I care? But I was surprised dealing with Bananas that was so important to him.
Yeah, I
thought
see
he was going to be like, I just want a fun, hot totally. Party, whatever.
But then maybe that's because of age, too.
I mean, he's been in the reality game for
forever.
15. That's a long run.
Yeah.
You know, some of these people have long runs because you can count, you know, the Buna Murray people are very good at pinpointing who we can count on. We can count on Trishel Canatella.
Yes.
To hit certain beats, to do certain things, to go through that. I think they know what they're getting with Bananas because it's really hard. If you're casting a reality show, I know a little bit about how the reality sausage is made. You want somebody who's crazy or difficult enough to give you some on-screen stuff, but not so crazy that they'll shut down your production.
Yeah.
And that is a really tough bullseye to hit.
Yeah.
You know, especially on The Bachelor. When they're casting The Bachelor, I mean, you are really rolling the dice that one of these people is not a lunatic that will shut down your show.
Well, tell everybody how they can listen to your show.
The Great Love Debate podcast. We deal with love, dating, sex, relationships, both from regular people, but we have a lot of celebrities and a lot of reality stars on there dishing the dirt. Go to greatlovedebate.com or just look for the Great Love Debate podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
The amazing Kate Casey.
So again, have a great Thanksgiving. And while you're sitting around the table, and if you can't think of something to talk to with that cousin that you despise or the great aunt that you have nothing in common with, mention this podcast, tell them how much you enjoy it, and then steal their phone when they're not looking and subscribe to the show and write a 5-star review. And of course, invite your friends and family to join the Facebook page for this podcast. Go to Facebook and put in Reality Life with Kate Casey in the search button and join it. You can find me on Twitter too, at Kate Casey. You can send me notes about how you hate everyone at the table or how much you actually enjoy everyone this year. And on Instagram, at Kate Casey CA, tag me in your pictures of your Thanksgiving table or of the football game you're attending. Whatever you're doing this Thanksgiving, tag me on Instagram. I'd love to see it. Have a great week.
Listen to the 48 Hours podcast for shocking murder cases and compelling real-life dramas from one of television's most watched true crime shows. Go behind the scenes of each episode with award-winning CBS News correspondents and producers in Postmortem, a weekly deep dive. Listen to 48 Hours wherever you get your podcasts.